There's lots of cultures that will have anal sex to preserve the virginity. You know?
Right.
So, again, it comes down to this question of what is sex.
Yeah,
so,
absolutely.
You know, my God is a very forgiving God, and he forgives if you make mistakes. And this is the thing with getting aroused and those sorts of things is we know that we do things that we wouldn't ordinarily do when we're in our right minds.
The Hookup. Love and f***ing on Triple J.
Warning, sex and adult themes.
When it comes to sex or even masturbating, have you ever thought about just tapping out for a while? Or maybe holding off for a certain amount of time when you're dating someone new? We're talking about abstinence, why people do it, what they get out of it. And on the pod with me is Linda Carlisle, who is a sex therapist and counsellor. Why might someone choose to be abstinent, do you think?
So there's a whole lot of different reasons. And if someone makes a conscious choice to be abstinent, it might be that it's a philosophical thing, as in religions that have abstinence. Or it could be to gain control over your urges, as in monks. And sometimes people just have bad experiences or find that sex is a little bit overrated or relating is really complicated.
Yeah, and so what do you think some possible benefits of not having sex or not masturbating might be?
Well, one of the big ones is that hopefully people will still consider themselves to be sexual and that it might be an opportunity for them to get to know themselves. A lot of people don't think to self-pleasure. Obviously, more women than men haven't self-pleasured in the past, and it can be a great way to get to know yourself.
Although self-pleasuring, I guess, by some people's book wouldn't really count as abstinence.
Well, it depends on the definition. You know, some of the definitions that I saw today, you know, preparing for the talk, said that it's a choice not to participate in any genital contact with another person. So some people might have actually very rich, and there are so many options for solo sexual expression these days, that sometimes it's just easier to take care of that in a whole lot of other ways rather than have the complication of having another person involved.
Yeah, and you will be hearing from Stephen a little bit later in the show that I spoke to, who hasn't masturbated for 3 years and says it's one of the best things that he's ever done. Hey, Tim, thanks very much for getting in touch with us. You used to be abstinent. Why did you stop?
G'day. I used to be abstinent because I was religious.
Mm-hmm.
And then I kind of broke away from my religion, and then I'm like, okay, I'm going to try sex because, like, I was, you know, I was young. I was about 17 or 18, and I wanted to experiment.
Mm-hmm.
So I started, like, with my girlfriend, and then that relationship ended. I kind of went to a kind of bad phase of sleeping around, and it wasn't fulfilling. So then I kind of became abstinent again.
Okay.
I don't really consider myself abstinent now, but I kind of reserve sex more for relationships.
Right, okay. And what was that like for you when you went from being abstinent to having the option to have sex? What did that feel like?
It was really liberating. Like, you know, like even after I stopped sleeping around and was abstinent again, just knowing that I didn't have anything restricting me as much, it was like, it was kind of freeing, and it felt really good because I was, you know, especially back then, it was like sex was very new to me. And, you know, it was just, it was very liberating.
And so are you still religious?
Not anymore.
Okay, right. Well, thank you so much for giving us a call, Tim. Loved hearing from you.
No worries.
So, Linda, I think that's really interesting that abstinence is so linked to religion. A lot of people that we're hearing from tonight are abstinent and religious. Do you think there's many people out there who are choosing to be abstinent who aren't religiously affiliated at all?
Absolutely. The research certainly shows that. Some people want to focus their attention on something else that's really important. It might be raising children, or it might be a big career thing that they've got. And, you know, having energy going in lots of different directions is just not going to work. Obviously, sports people conserve their energy to put it into the game.
Isn't that an old rumor, though, that if you kind of have sex before the big game or masturbate, that it's going to, like, sap your energy?
I don't think it has an effect myself, but there are a lot of sports people that religiously, pardon the pun, religiously abstain.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
And also another reason might be, and if this is you, get in touch with us, I can imagine it might be a bit of a reaction to modern sex culture, like hookup apps, like Tinder, and because, I mean, things are so different now. Not waiting till sex on the third date seems incredibly outdated, and some people, I guess, might be struggling with that.
Totally. There's so much pressure on this generation, and, you know, when you think about sex in context and sexual culture, you know, it was only World War II, really, that things started to open up. Before that, there was a whole lot of people that didn't get to have sex, and sex really was only for married people and only to have babies.
So, Linda, I've actually heard of some people putting a bit of a self-imposed ban on sex and dating, not for like a long period of time or for any kind of religious reasons, just because they've had a run of really shit dates. Have you heard of any clients doing this?
Lots. It's not for the faint-hearted online dating and hookup and, you know, there's a lot of people out there that casual sex just doesn't really suit them.
Yeah.
So they feel much more comfortable getting to know someone. You know, perhaps they've had a sexual difficulty that's happened that's made their affected their confidence. You know, often, you know, when people get there, it's not as they expected it to be. And so having a break from it, getting back to, you know, building your self-esteem and, you know, coming back at it for another turn or trying other ways to meet people rather than, you know, the way that they've been trying.
And we've got a couple of texts on 0439 757 555 on abstinence, specifically with masturbating. A bunch of us boys did a no wanking challenge in high school. It literally messed my head and I was so angry and I didn't know why until after. I lasted 21 days, and that's from Murphy. So what would be the negatives to abstinence, and would it affect health, like Murphy says?
It really depends on the person. There's so much variety in how people experience sexual interest. And so some people, like him, climbing the walls, you know, even after a couple of days, whereas other people can go for days or weeks or months or years and it doesn't really stress them that much. So it really does come down to the person and how they experience that need.
Yeah, we're looking at abstinence and all the different reasons why you might not be having sex. One of them is obviously religion. Earlier, I spoke to Sarah, who's Catholic and completely abstinent, and I kind of just wanted to know why she does it and what she gets out of it.
So we were taught growing up that sex is something to be kept within marriage, and that's a belief and way of life that I've done my best to uphold as an adult.
Have there been slip-ups along the way?
Yes, I guess there have. There have been a couple of situations where I've pushed my own personal boundaries, and I do have some regrets for how far I've allowed things to go.
When it comes to those boundaries of sexuality, where do they come from? Do they come from the church, or do you make them up yourself?
I guess a bit of a combination. I find it a little bit tricky in the sense that, you know, there isn't really a go-to person to really say, you know, this is okay and this isn't. So I guess it's a combination of personal beliefs, what the church teaches, and developing your own boundaries as an adult as well, I think.
That's kind of the part that I get a little confused about with abstinence and these sexual boundaries according to religion, because I guess it kind of all comes down to what you define as sex. Like, is it only penetrative sex? Is it only vaginal penetrative sex? Does fingering count? Does this not? Like, how does it all work?
Yeah, look, I don't have a straight answer for that, I guess, and to a certain extent I hold some of the same sort of confusion. And I guess I find it difficult as an adult, in a sense that I don't really have any close friends who share the same beliefs. It's not really something that I talk to my mum or a priest about, so it does make it a bit difficult working out those boundaries and what's acceptable and what's not. I guess the experiences that I have had that I have regretted, yes, I might not have had sex with somebody, but I feel like it was playing with fire, I guess.
And why exactly do you regret that?
It was sort of like, I guess, that first bite of chocolate when you've never had chocolate before and you just, you know, you leave yourself wanting more.
And so with your abstinence, is masturbating off the table as well?
Yep.
And how is that? Is that a struggle?
It is, absolutely. Yeah.
What part of that is, I mean, I guess...
What part of that is considered wrong and why is it considered
wrong? Yeah. I mean, I wanted to ask that in a sensitive way because it is so far from I guess...
No, I've gotten in touch with you guys, so I figure nothing's off the table. I'm totally putting myself out there by doing this. I think my understanding is that that sexual gratification, I guess, is, again, something that's meant to be between a husband and a wife and not outside of that relationship. I guess, again, it's something that isn't really widely discussed and I don't really have the opportunity to ask people.
Why not? Why isn't it discussed?
Well, I don't know, and I wish it was more widely discussed.
If you were to, I guess, slip up and have sex with someone, what would that mean for you then?
It's something that I hope won't happen. If it did, and, you know, there have been situations where it could have, I like to think that it is something that I would regret, and I guess I'd have to certainly reassess my beliefs and morals.
But, I mean, what would be the point of regretting it and punishing yourself for that?
Because it's not who I am. It's not what I believe to be the right choice.
How do guys react when you tell them that you're abstinent?
No, so that's the other joy to all of this. I haven't managed to find anyone who, a guy who either shares the same beliefs or is prepared to get on board with them, I guess. The couple of situations that I have found myself in, you know, I like to think I've been quite open and honest from the very beginning. There's been sort of a variety of reactions to either saying that, you know, yeah, that's cool, and then you just don't hear anything from them, to others just continuing to try and push the issue and trying to continue to push sex on you, essentially, and it's ended up being me who's just walked away and gone, well, if you can't respect these beliefs, then that's fine, but see you later.
Yeah, that must be really hard.
It's just more frustrating, really. It's, like I said, I don't expect anybody to have the same beliefs. I understand that they do seem extreme to the vast majority of people, but I think it's fair to expect people to at least be respectful of them.
The Hookup on Triple J.
That was Sarah there, who is Catholic and waiting to have sex until marriage. And I'm joined by Linda Carlisle, who is a sex therapist and counsellor. Linda, it sounds like it's hard to be an abstinent dater.
Look, it just shows how much beliefs and values are the foundation of our ideas about sexuality. You know, for some people, they are going to make concessions so that it's easier. Certainly anyone that grew up, you know, before the 70s, you know, everything from the waist up was sort of okay, and you know, people kissed for hours and those sorts of things. So I hope that she's at least enjoying herself, you know, in those ways with kissing and that sort of thing. Interestingly enough, most women don't actually think to masturbate before they're in their first sexual relationship. So it's just not something that crosses people's minds.
Yeah, that's interesting. And it's interesting you say everything from the waist up, because that's what I find so interesting is, like, where do you draw the line? Like, when does God say this is not okay? Like, is it just penetrative, like penis and vagina sex?
Absolutely.
I mean, yeah, I find it really
Well, certainly there's lots of cultures that will have anal sex to preserve the virginity. You know,
right.
So, again, it comes down to this question of what is sex.
Yeah,
so,
absolutely.
You know, my God is a very forgiving God, and he forgives if you make mistakes. And this is the thing with getting aroused and those sorts of things, is we know that we do things that we wouldn't ordinarily do when we're in our right minds.
Linda, how do you feel about the, I guess, traditional idea of virginity and that kind of thing when it comes to abstinence?
I absolutely support anybody who wants to wait until marriage or wait until they're in a relationship or who wants to have sex every night of the week. As a sex therapist, I've got to leave my moral judgments at the door. So what I do is work with people so that they can be happy with their choice and perhaps even explore their choice to see whether or not they're making the best one that's for them.
Do as far as you know, do all religions have an aspect of abstinence to them?
They do. I actually, in my researching today, Hinduism, Buddhism, Catholicism, Islam, they all have times where you need to be sexually abstinent and of course, Judaism as well.
Wow, this might be a reason for, I guess, the rise in atheism or agnosticism in our generation. We're, you know, like the least religious generation of all time, I suppose. Mm. And it's interesting when you look at it, especially with abstinence before marriage, we've kind of got this idea in our head that in the 1950s, no one was having sex before marriage. But from Kinsey's studies of women's sexuality...
They were just terrified.
Yeah, well, he said over 50% of the women that he surveyed, and that's the ones that said yes and were truthful,
absolutely,
said that they were having sex before marriage. So
exactly.
Yeah, it's really interesting. Hey,
well, the pill was the big game changer in 1960. So suddenly you didn't have to worry about being pregnant every time you had sex.
Yeah, absolutely. Maybe if I went back in a time machine, I'd go back to the day that the pill was invented. It would be a pretty exciting day. Daniel, thanks for giving us a call. Why did you go abstinent?
I went abstinent because I noticed it was sapping me of all the time I had in the day. Like it was adding to my, you know, procrastination here and there. It was, taking entire days away from me, you know, like if I wanted to masturbate, that means some of my schoolwork or some of my actual work would have to take a back seat. If I wanted to go find a partner to have sex with, I'd have to like go out at 6 o'clock, come home at 3 o'clock. That would ruin my sleep cycle. That would, you know, just take me on a journey I didn't want to go on. So I kind of just took, like, stopped. And now it's been a year, I think, here I am.
And so was it difficult to stop?
Oh, not really, I think. Like, I just...
Cold turkey.
I just quit it. Yeah, cold turkey. It worked out fine. I don't think there are any benefits at all, but still, it was pretty good.
Wait, Bennett, you don't think there are any benefits to not masturbating? I thought it took up all your time.
Yeah, see, the thing is... Now I'm, you know, playing with my pen or something or finding some other way to waste my time. But yeah, I'd rather, honestly, masturbating was the thing. Like, I could relate to other men and this and that. But now, like, when I go, oh, I don't masturbate, I don't have sex, they, you know, start hooting and hollering and all that.
Oh, no.
Oh, it's all right. It's funny, yeah.
Well, I'm sure there are plenty of guys out there like you, Daniel, who have tapped out for a little while, and I'm glad it's all kind of working out for you now. Thanks for giving us a call. Tara, thanks so much for giving us a call. You've got a bit of a no sex rule for this year.
Yeah, so I went into 2017 with a no sex rule purely based off the fact that I had some issues with 2016 with casual sex, relationships. Just it was just really messy, and I decided that it would probably be easier to just not do it for at least, you know, give it a shot and see how long I can go without it for. So,
and how are you going?
So far, so good. It's very difficult at times. So
when has it been hard?
I don't know, if I'm watching TV or something and something a little bit, you know, sort of dirty comes on, it's like, oh, I kind of crave that, I guess.
Yeah.
Seeing.
And it's no, like, masturbating people, as well as no sex, just nothing?
It's just no sex. Masturbating's totally fine.
Okay.
So that's my only, I guess, outlet, but it's just, it feels kind of... It's not fulfilling 100%, I guess.
Yeah, and so we've got with us Linda Carlisle, who's a sex therapist and counsellor. So, Linda, Do you see this a bit where people are kind of tapping out for year lengths like Tara's?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. After they have a run of bad experiences or the sex is crap or, you know, they don't feel like they've been treated respectfully, you know, each time that happens, something withers and, you know, you just kind of have to go away and have a bit of a break.
Thanks so much for getting in touch with us, Tara. I really appreciate it.
No worries.
I feel like this is a warning call for people having casual sex out there to, you know, treat each other nicely. Otherwise, everyone's just going to stop having sex. Everyone's just going to be tapping out of the game and there's going to be no one left. Earlier in the week, I spoke to a guy called Stephen. After reading a book, he hasn't masturbated in 3 years, and I called him to ask him why.
It's about different ways to change your lifestyle from bad habits. It says masturbation's a bad habit. And it's like anything, like watching TV, reading magazines. Gave it up and everything's been more amazing since.
Why does it say that masturbation is a bad habit?
It's just like, well, they say like sexual energy is a good thing and it can be used in your everyday lifestyle towards like creativity and all that. And if you masturbate on a regular basis, you're just like dispersing that energy for no reason instead of using it for, I know, to better your lifestyle, to, you know, have more drive. So it says, like, you know, stop watching TV, stop reading magazines, stop reading newspapers because it's just, you know, it's a crap habit. You don't really gain anything from it.
And have you done that as well?
Yeah, I never read that. I don't watch TV anymore.
So what do you do with all your spare time?
Well, I box 5 times a week. I'm a Pilates instructor. I'm an electrician. So I'm pretty busy. I don't overly have sex, but maybe just, like, probably 3 times a week. I've got a partner, yeah.
What's their perspective on this?
They think it's amazing, but, you know, some people think it's weird.
So are you sort of the belief now that masturbation isn't a natural thing to do?
I don't think it's natural, not at all. Mutual masturbation is in front of a partner, but definitely not over, no way. I don't think it's a natural thing. I think it's just a bad habit for people. And it's like anything in life, like your body produces more than it needs if you're doing a lot. So if people are masturbating 5 times a week, their body's going to up their sex drive, so they have to masturbate. Like anything, if I'm going to work out 5 times a week, my body's going to produce more energy to do it. You know?
The Hookup on Triple J with Hannah Riley.
Stephen, who I talked with on the phone the other day, got some pretty strong ideas, despite not being a healthcare professional, but that's all right. You're on The Hookup with Hannah Riley on Triple J. We're talking about abstinence. And in the studio with me is Linda Carlisle. She's a sex therapist and counsellor. Any comments on Stephen's thoughts about masturbating?
Look, it's obviously working really well for him and it's been a really positive decision. So sometimes I will have discussions with clients about just having a finite amount of energy to give all round to life, to work, to relationships. He's obviously still having sex and so he's channeled that sexual energy into his sexual relationship. Mm. So other people, if they don't experience the same pleasure that he gets from sex, perhaps will do the opposite, that they'll put all their energy into masturbation. So, again, the variety in you know, society and how people express their sexuality, I don't like the terms unnatural or unhealthy because, you know, there's such a wide range of that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, masturbation by many accounts is healthy and it's normal, right?
Absolutely. The research shows that it's actually very good for us, for our health. It's great for prostate health. It's a great way to relieve tension. And look, I have people that masturbate twice a day, and other people that don't masturbate at all. So, you know,
all good things again, in moderation, right?
Exactly right. Exactly right. And also relative to what you've got energy for yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. Linda Carlisle, thank you so much for joining us on The Hookup. Really appreciate it.
Absolute pleasure. Thanks.
Thanks for listening to the podcast. Is there a topic that you'd love to hear us cover? Let us know. Send an email to thehookup@abc.net.au.